So this morning, you'll have to forgive me if I'm just reading my notes a bit and trying to get my head around what I'm saying, because it was a little bit of a I'm losing the wrong mic. There we go. We're on double. There we go. It was a bit of a last-minute job because Joe had to be called out for some AOG duties, so it was going to be Joe this morning, but you've got me instead. So you don't know if to cheer there or not, do you? Because you don't want to say bad on Joe, but yeah, I don't mind. You can cheer me. That's fine. Okay, so I thought this morning I wanted to just look at the topic of love. So I've called it Greater Love this morning, because I just thought it would be fitting. For this morning, with it being Remembrance Day, and I think it's always good to be reminded of God's love for us. So I want to go over this morning just a few things about what God's love is like, what the biblical view of love is. And I looked it up on Google, as you do, for if you're writing a preach. Obviously, it used to be you'd go to your dictionary and look up the word you're doing, but now you look stuff up on Google, don't you? So there's some little cartoons, and they say love is. So see which of these you agree with of what Google thinks that love is, okay? So these are some of the things that they say love is. Love is enjoying the simple things in life together. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Love is reassuring her she's not fat. I don't know about that one. Right, this is going to be disputed. I know this will bring up some arguments maybe. Love is when she's the boss and you love it. Know about that one? Some of the men are like shaking their heads. No, she's not the boss. Some of the women are like, yeah, I'm the boss. I don't know. Okay, love is being partners for life. Yeah, that's a nice one, isn't it? Love is when you can't stay mad at each other for long. Not sure about that one. Love is looking ahead and not back. Aw, good bit of salt for this. Love is when your differences make no difference. So that is what Google says that love is. I think the Bible has quite a lot to say on love. So we're going to look at the Bible view of love this morning. Maybe you agree with a few of those things. Maybe you disagree with a few of those things. But that doesn't really matter this morning, does it? What matters is what does the Bible tell us that true love is. And that's why I've called it Greater Love. Because the world may tell us that love is one thing, but the Bible tells us about the greatest love. This morning, about what love looks like when it truly is the greatest love. So I want to just look this morning at a little passage in 1 John, just to start off with. Which I didn't bookmark. There you go, I'm finding it with you, if that helps you. Okay, 1 John 3 and verse 16. And it says this: this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and see a brother and sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So I want to look at that whole topic this morning, just about the love of God being in us. And Jesus there showed us the ultimate love by laying down his life. And it says that we should have his love in us. And that's quite a tall order, isn't it, to say that. But we do that by, first of all, knowing what God's love is like and being filled with God's love. And that is how that's going to happen. It's not going to happen by us trying to just be better and muster up a bit more love. But actually, it's going to happen when we truly discover how much God loves us. So I just want to give you three simple things this morning of what the greater love that the Bible describes, what that love is like. And we're going to look at those three things and hopefully explore that a little bit and understand a little bit better at the end what true love is. So the first thing is true love, or greater love, is sacrificial and not superficial. So greater love is sacrificial and not superficial. I don't know if you found this more and more in our culture today, that love is kind of a bit more superficial than it used to be. And particularly when you watch the media and you watch TV shows about dating and things like that, it's very superficial. A prime example is a program called Take Me Out. Don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of watching that show. It is a bit of light entertainment, but if you haven't seen it, basically what they do is they have a load of girls all standing in a big semicircle with little lights, buzzer lights, And they bring a man down in the lift and he tells them a bit about himself and they do a little video about him and then he shows off somehow and might be doing something that he's skillful at or whatever. And then what they basically do is if they like him, they leave the light on the front, and if they don't, they turn it off. Or as Paddy McGuinness says, no likey, no lighty. So a few of you are quoting that, so I know some of you have watched it. The funny thing about the programme is how superficial their answers are for the reason that they've slammed their lights off. I mean, that is the premise of the show, because they're basically judging him on just coming down a lift, so you can't blame them in a way. But some of the answers they give, and you're hearing all these buzzers go off, and sometimes it's like positive stuff. Say, I'm a real family man, I love my mum, and people are like turning their buzzers off. Oh, loves his mum, turn the buzzer off. Or I think the worst one was one of them, his name's Kevin, and my dog's called Kevin. That was an actual excuse off the show of why they turned their light off. So, it's superficial, isn't it? And I could name worse programmes, which, you know, will not be spoken of here, because they're so, some of them are so superficial. And that's kind of the thing of love that we've been sold. The lie, I suppose, that actually that's what love is. It's superficial. Do you like them on the surface? You know, what are you getting out of it? And it's all about that. But the Bible says the opposite. It says that love should be sacrificial. Superficial says, what's in it for me? But true sacrificial love really costs us, doesn't it? And we've seen that this morning about the fact as we look at Jesus paid the ultimate cost. And in John 15 and verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remains in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And then there's the verse we read this morning, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's the picture we get from the Bible of true love. It's not a superficial love. It's not a love that comes and goes and kind of goes, what's in it for me? It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that costs. It's a love that gives. And that's amazing, isn't it? When we look at that, how much Jesus gave to us when he gave his love, when he gave his life for us. And there's a passage in Romans 12, but I just love the way that the message puts it, because I find it really challenging when it's talking about us loving other people. And it says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Because we can all pretend sometimes, can't we? We can all put on a show and pretend to love others, but it says, don't just pretend, really love them. You hear people say things like, oh, I do love you, but I just don't like you. Don't you? You hear people say things like that. I do love you, I just don't like it. Maybe we feel like that about people sometimes. But imagine God said that about us. Can you imagine God said in the Bible, I love you all, but I just do not like some of you. Like, that's just not how his love works, isn't it? It's not a superficial love. It's not a, you know, I love you because I have to, but in the meantime, I'll put up with you. He really genuinely loves us. And that's the love that we should show to other people. It says in the Bible that God delights in us. God's like a father to us. And so when we see other people, let's kind of put away that thing of, oh, you know, I love because I have to. But actually, I really want a deep love for people, the love that God has for people. And that is sometimes a sacrificial love. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it doesn't suit us. Sometimes it's difficult. But that's the kind of love that God calls us to have for other people. I wonder if somebody came up to you and they had no home and they asked, would you give me a roof over my head? I wonder if you'd say yes to them. And they come and they say, I've got nowhere to live. Would you give me a roof over my head? Some of you maybe, if you've got a spare, and go, yeah, I'll put someone up there. I've got no roof over my head. What if you had to buy a bigger house in order to accommodate them? So you didn't have enough bedrooms. So you had to buy a bigger house to put them into, to get more rooms in your house to put them in. Maybe that's a bit of a tall order, isn't it? That's asking a bit much to put someone up just to buy a whole new house, isn't it? But what if you did that for someone and they never paid rent? You just, they accepted that that's just what they want you to do. And then they ask you, like they got a bit, you know, they needed some rides everywhere, and they ask you for lifts everywhere. So you like the taxi. You're expected just to drive them everywhere, take them out, and you're feeding them. And then sometimes they didn't even like you and they had arguments with you. And sometimes they knew exactly what to say. And sometimes they have a temper tantrum and throw the cereal on the floor or whatever it might be. You'd say no. If you knew that was a deal, you'd say no, wouldn't you? Most. Yeah. Some of you, that's not what I'm going to say. A lot of you are already doing it. If you have children, that is exactly what you are doing. You probably bought a new house to have the extra room. You probably fed them, you've clothed them, you've driven them everywhere, and sometimes they're not even thankful, are they? Sometimes they just throw it back in your face. But it's funny, when I said that and we're thinking about sacrifice and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I could do that. But yet, when we do it for our children, it's easy, isn't it? It's natural. I was going to say it's easy. Being a parent isn't always easy. I won't say that. But the love that you have for them just overcomes all that stuff, doesn't it? You don't think twice. Often, you know, you don't think twice about feeding them, or you don't go, oh, you're costing me so much money. Or maybe some people are laughing, maybe some people do. But the love that you have for them overwhelms all that. You expect to give that care for them. And that's what love does. When we really love people, it makes the sacrifice seem smaller. And it's what brought Jesus to the cross. It said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And so when he went to the cross, when he came to make that ultimate sacrifice for us, he was there knowing the joy that he would get in being our friends, in getting to know us at the end of it all. And that love just overwhelmed all the sacrifice that he had to go through. And as I said, it wasn't easy. I didn't make that easy for Jesus, but the love matched up to it. The love came first. And so that should challenge us as Christians, that actually as we get to know God more, as we get to know Jesus and we allow his love to be poured into us, that we're not going to have a superficial love that can just smile at people and say hello and put up with them, but actually a love that can be sacrificial. And that love stems from the love that we have in God. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that greater love remembers and it forgets. I'll explain what I mean by that. It remembers and it forgets. So if you're married in here or if you're in a relationship, one thing that you should remember, there's a few dates you should remember, isn't there? One thing is maybe the birthday, your anniversary. Is anyone going to admit, anyone get in trouble because they've forgotten an anniversary? Anyone going to, oh, you're really good. Just, Aaron put his hand up and then saw no one else and put it straight down again. So I'm sure there's probably more that didn't admit it there. Forgetting an anniversary, it's like a bit of a no-no, isn't it? I once probably did worse than that. I forgot it was Paul's birthday once. I know, that's awful, is it? But if I give it a bit of context, I'll make it sound a bit better. I know, pastoral help from James there. Let me give it some context. We were going away on his birthday on this like weekend with some other leaders. And so before we went, we did the birthday thing with the presents and all that. So I hadn't completely forgotten. We'd done the birthday presents, we'd done all that, gone out for tea or whatever it was. And then, so in my head, it was done with, yeah? It's gone, sorted. So we were there, and we were getting breakfast, all that kind of stuff, and somebody said, oh, this milk goes out of date today, it's 10th of June, isn't it? And I was like, oh, 10th of June, that's Paul's birthday. Oh, happy birthday, Paul. And he was like, yeah, I realised you didn't remember that. And the girl I was with, she couldn't believe that I'd forgotten. She was like, it's his birthday and you forgot. I was like, yeah, sorry. So really, you're expected to remember certain things, aren't you? When you love somebody, when you're in a relationship with somebody, you're expected to remember certain key things. And the closer you are to someone, the more you should know those things, don't you? So some certain friends, you know their birthdays. If it was just, you're not necessarily expected to remember everybody's birthday in the church. I mean, that would probably be a bit of a tall order. I'm a bit rapey at remembering birthdays, so that'd be really hard for me. So the closer you are, the more you love them, the more you're expected to remember things, aren't you? And I want to just encourage you this morning that God obviously loves every one of us, and he remembers. He remembers things that we sacrifice for him. He remembers things that we've gone through. He remembers our past. He remembers our future. We don't remember our future because that hasn't happened yet, but you know what I mean. I want to read you out this in Psalm 139. It says, Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. So God remembers everything about us, and I want to encourage you with that this morning. Sometimes you might feel like you've sacrificed things. Sometimes you might feel like you've given things up, but God remembers those things, and God blesses and rewards those things. And in our love to other people, it's important to remember. I think it's important to remember, what you've been through with people that you love, with your friends, with your family. It's important to remember things they've done for you. It's important to just sometimes to remember and say thank you again to them. And love. Sorry, today is a day for remembering, isn't it? We've looked at that already. And there's a little phrase, isn't it, that we say on Remembrance Sunday, and that's lest we forget. You've probably all heard that phrase. And I think it, to me, it basically means shame on us if we forget. That's what I think it means. Shame on us if we forget the things that people have sacrificed. And I think that's a really nice phrase. It's a really good way to put it. Like, we should remember. It's right for us to remember those people and to honour their sacrifice, because a lot of what we have today is because of them. And there's that saying, isn't there, that they gave our their tomorrow for our today. But my brother used to think, he didn't understand that phrase. He obviously hadn't heard the word lest. And he thought it said, unless we forget. So we will remember unless we forget. Doesn't have quite the same ring. And he always went through going, that's a really odd phrase to say, isn't it, about people who have fought for our country. Yeah, we're going to remember them unless we forget. And like a little clause in case you forget them or something. And I was thinking about that because my brother does make me laugh sometimes. And I think sometimes we can have that actual attitude towards things in life, can't we? We can kind of have that attitude towards God even. So he does something absolutely amazing for us, and he does this miracle, and we're praying for something, and we get answered prayers. And then it's like, yeah, God, I'm going to remember this. And then literally it is, lest I forget. And we just, next minute, we've forgotten about it again, haven't we? And we go through a hard time. And God, you're giving up on me. You never do anything for me. And or it might be the same attitude with people, might it? And we literally just forget. And I want to just remind us this morning of the importance of remembering. We need to remember. We need to remember just simple things like saying thank you to people. Remember what people have done for us. Remember what God did for us. That's why we do communion every other week, because we come and we remember Jesus' sacrifice and what he gave us on the cross. So love remembers, and remembering is so important. But I also said at the beginning that love also forgets. Now, hopefully you don't forget the same things as it remembers, otherwise that's a bit confusing. But there's certain things that you need to forget when you love somebody as well. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love keeps no record of wrongs. And that's a challenge, isn't it? So that's something really important to remember about love, that it keeps no record of wrongs. Because sometimes when we're we get hurt by each other, we do things, and we can keep a little track list, can't we? You might not write it down, but it might be in your brain somewhere, like, oh, you've done this before, or I don't trust you anymore because this, this, and this. And then sometimes it all blows up in a big argument, doesn't it? Where somebody says something and they're like, why are you so mad at that? And it's because you've got a mental list of all the other things that you're a bit angry with them about. But it says there that love keeps no record of wrongs. So we need to forgive, and we need to let go of things that have hurt us. And as I said before, we're reflecting God's love. And God does exactly that for us. In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So in other words, the east and the west, they can never meet, because then they wouldn't be east and west anymore. So as far as they are from each other, God will never, ever remember your sin. Once he's forgiven it, once you've come, repented, and God said, yeah, I've forgiven you that, he's never going to bring it up again. He's never going to throw it back in your face. He's never going to remind you of it. It is done. It's finished. It's dealt with. And that's amazing, isn't it? That's an important thing to remember this morning. But then we need to pass that on to others as well. Actually, you know, if we've been hurt, but then we've forgiven, we need to let it go and move on and forget. So true love, greater love, remembers certain things, but it also forgets certain things. And the final thing this morning is that greater love is both pure and secure. I've tried to do little rhymes and then you can remember them. Pure and secure. When somebody loves you and their motives aren't very pure, it's not like a secure love, is it? When somebody loves you and they just want to get something back out of it, they're not going to be around for very long. But when love is pure, it's a secure love. Yeah. Because the purity of motives is that person wants the best for you, and that person wants to do something good for you, and you both want to get something out of the relationship. So pure love is secure love. Luckily for us, God's love doesn't rely on us. God's love is perfect already, and God could never love us more than he loves us or less than he loves us, because he just loves us like we're his children. And we see that from Luke 6, verse 35. There's a verse there which says, he is kind to the ungrateful. And it's really difficult, isn't it, to be kind to ungrateful people. It's really hard, but the Bible says that that's what God is. He's kind to the ungrateful. I'll give you a little example. If you're driving, and there's loads of roads in Lough, isn't there, where drivers park, there's like parked cars all down one way, and you've got to give way to each other. Yeah, and you got to, so sometimes, yeah, way up as you come down, do I give way and let them pass, or do I kind of plow on and who's going to give way? And then sometimes you stop, and if you've ever done this, and you go, yeah, I'm going to give way, I'll be nice, do my bit. And they come through and they drive down, and then they don't wave at you and say thank you. Like, they don't do the little, yeah, because we all watch for that, don't we? Yeah? And you go, how rude, they didn't say thank you. I waited and they didn't do the little thank. Well, maybe I wouldn't have waited if, you know, I don't know. And it's so hard, isn't it? Because that's like a little act of gratefulness, isn't it? It's like a little acknowledgement. Thank you for waiting for me. And if they don't do it, it's like, oh, how dare they? Because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to be kind when someone's not grateful. That's such a small example, isn't it? Because they haven't inconvenienced you that much out of your day, have they, really? It's probably a few seconds and you've had to wait. But even that is hard. And there's much bigger examples, I'm sure, of when people aren't very grateful, but we keep giving and we keep giving. And that's exactly like God is with to us. Because we often aren't grateful for everything that he's done for us, yet he's still kind to us. And that just shows us that how amazing his love is, that it doesn't rely on us, that his motives are pure in loving us, because God always just wants the best for us. And that's what we should reflect in our love. But because of that, it's such a secure love. And so many times in the world, you know, we can get hurt by people and we can think somebody loves us and it's not a secure love. But we need to first rest in God's love, that his love is so secure. Yeah. I once had to change one of the light bulbs downstairs. You'll see in the youth suite, there's an archway of lights, isn't there? And the light bulbs in there, they always go. And to get to it, I was a bit foolish, really. I stood on a ladder, but the ladder wasn't big enough. So you're not really supposed to stand on the top rung of the ladder, right? The top bit. It says on, like, don't stand on me. But I thought, I just need to get on with it and do it. So I thought, I'll get somebody to hold the ladder for me. So I'm sure she won't mind me saying this, but Julia was around in the building. I said, would you hold the ladder for me, Julia? She said, yeah, sure. So I was on the top of the ladder with nothing to hold on to, on my tiptoes, reaching as high as I could, because I'm not that tall. And I could just about reach the bulb. I was a bit wobbly, and I felt a little bit insecure, as you can imagine. Math is agreeing because he doesn't like heights, so that would be his worst nightmare. And as I did it, I pulled the bulb. It was about that big, the bulb, and it dropped out the light, and it hit Julia, or came nearer. So she freaked out, and she went, whoa, like that, and wobbled the ladder. So I was there on this ladder, like, whoa, on my tiptoes. But I somehow managed to keep my balance and I didn't fall off, so it was all good. And then I had to tell her, like, I still had to put the new bulb in after, but I did it and it was all good and the lights were fixed. So if any of you are good at doing bulbs, next time you notice a few, you can save my sanity and come and help. Maybe we'll put up scaffold or something like that. But when you're stood there with nothing around you, no one to hold on to, you feel a bit vulnerable, don't you?
Yeah.
Especially if someone's wobbling the ladder. So you feel like, oh, I've got nothing to grip onto. I feel vulnerable. And I just feel like some people in here this morning, maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe you feel vulnerable in that area. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe somebody's broken your heart or hurt you or not treated you as they should have treated you. And perhaps you feel a bit like me, not in a physical sense, but like in an emotional sense, that you feel vulnerable. You feel like you're on top of a wobbly ladder and that actually you wouldn't trust again because you've been hurt. And that love that you've had wasn't a secure love. It wasn't a pure love. But I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you, if you've felt heartbreak, if you've not been treated right, that God wants to encourage you this morning that his love is a solid foundation. His love is the love that we can build our life on, and it will always be there. It will always be solid. It will always be firm. It will never be shaken.
Yeah.
And when we build our life on that platform, as people, we can be secure and we can be confident. Even if we end up getting hurt, then God will help us with that because he is the heart mender. And we need to make sure that our first love is in him because his love is the only perfect love. His love is the only 100% secure, 100% pure love that we could ever know. And I want you to know this morning that if that is you, that God just wants you to experience his love in a new way like never before, and just to be, just that God wants you just not to feel that vulnerability, but actually to feel completely safe and completely secure. Yeah. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. Our ultimate goal as Christians, isn't it, is to receive God's love and then to pass that love onto other people.
That's right.
And so this morning, as we've looked at those just three things, we could say more this morning, but those three things that God's love is to us. We're going to pray in a moment, but let's pray for those things that God would fill our hearts and minds with his love, and that we would be able to then pass that on.
Yeah.
Because we take it in for us, but then we take it in because we pass it on to other people, don't we? So God's love is sacrificial and not superficial. God's love remembers the important things, and it forgets our sin. And God's love is pure and it's secure. So let's just pray this morning over those things. God, we just thank you this morning that your love is a firm foundation for our lives. God, that it is all those things that we've just said for us, and that it is the ultimate sacrifice that you gave for us. When you laid down your life for us, you showed us, God, that there is nothing that you wouldn't do for us, that you love us that much, that there's nothing that you wouldn't give up for us. So I just pray for us this morning, God. I pray for everyone in here that each of us would just remember your love again and experience it in a new way this morning and be thankful for it. And God, help us to show that love to a world that so desperately needs it. God, whatever we're doing in our weeks this week, whether at work or school or college, God, let us show that love. Let us be like lights as we go out, that people would see something different in us, Father. And Lord, I just pray, if there's anybody here who just feels that vulnerability, like they've been heartbroken, like they've been trampled on, God, I just pray that you would just show them this morning, that you would heal their hearts, God, that you would show them that they are absolutely loved by you. They are your child, God, and that you just love them in such an amazing way. So, Father, we just pray that this morning. Amen.